everybody, and welcome to the weekly Nintendo News Roundup Live, each and every week. The All-In Crew breaks down the week in Nintendo News. Hey, Eric. Wait, Eric's like looking around. He's like doing like a search.
I'm still on Nintendo Direct Watch, Seth. I'm still looking out for it. Still on Direct Watch.
Yeah, well, look, we're going to talk a little bit, perhaps, about some things we might potentially see at the Nintendo Direct. We got Lockleth here in the chat. Lockleth was first tonight. Shout-outs to Lockleth. Bows is here. Happy Friday, friends. Happy Friday, indeed, yay, everybody. Good little
is
bit of
Kirk
stuff
pulling over there. What's going on, guys?
Yeah, it's true. we got some stuff to talk about tonight, but we have some very important business to attend to first, as you know.
Yes, incredibly important business that we intend to every Friday night. Our Friday friends, our patrons.
That's right. We start every show by thanking our patrons at patreon.com/allinpodcast, starting with our Golden Banana Bunch. Huge thanks to Rob Yapel, Sean O'Baggins Ashton, Tim A, a.k.a. NeoPrime33, a.k.a. Nintendo Dad Number 4, Phelan Ward, Bill Tucker, Marcus O'Neill, Liam D, Gamer Jason, Andrew Wilkins, Foolish Fuji, Alan, hashtag Look to the Cookie, Solo, and SAZ. Huge thanks to our Golden Banana Bunch. You can join their ranks with a 7-day free trial over on patreon.com/allinpodcast. And see what all the fuss is about for free for 7 days. Moving our Triforce tier. You think Josh Vaughn, the godfather of Tegel Up Tuesday, John Datfast Cummins of the Retro Logic Podcast, as well as the On Topic Retro Podcast, the Globetrotten Jet Set Nintendo Hub and Sparky of the Nintendo Hub right here on YouTube, Adam Caparello of the Retro Groove Podcast, Shy Guy, the other half of our Shy Guy Mod Squad. Thank you, Shy Guy. Danny Linahosa, Dan and Luma, Bowza, the Keeper of the Hugs, and the legend himself.
Uncle Randy.
Uncle Randy. Big thanks to our patrons. We really appreciate your continued love and support. Head over there, join their ranks, see what all the fuss is about. You can also support the show with merch. bit.ly/allinmerch is the place to go for that. And if you listen to the show on your podcast feeds, another great way to support the show is to drop some words. Leave a 5-star review on your podcatcher of choice. Comment below, like and subscribe on YouTube and all that fun stuff. But Eric, let's talk about some news, shall we?
Yes, there's some fun stuff going on within the world of Nintendo. So let's talk about it.
Little gold member vibes there.
You caught that. I like that.
Nintendo. I love Nintendo. Yes. Well, we're actually going to start our Nintendo News Roundup tonight. A little bit of Xbox. Believe it or not, the Xbox Business Update podcast happened this past week, wherein they detailed the future. Yeah, exactly. Don't believe everything you read on the internet. They did this video podcast. It was Tina Amini hosting. Phil Spencer was there. Sarah Bond was there. Matt Booty was there. And they detailed the sort of future of the Xbox business. The reason we're talking about it is because they, Phil Spencer specifically announced during this podcast that there would be 4 Xbox exclusive titles that would be coming to other platforms, including Switch. Now, he did not choose to name those titles, but we know what they are.
Frankly, they didn't even choose to name the Nintendo Switch within the podcast itself. But, I mean, yeah. However, one of the biggest things going into this, Lockleth, I know the guy's name is Booty, but come on.
Quick side note. I kid you not. Y'all are not going to believe this. I had a teacher in elementary school named Mr. Harry Booty. Not kidding. His first name was Harry. So that's a real thing.
Moving on, well, we got confirmation that 4 Xbox, previously Xbox exclusive titles, are coming to the Nintendo Switch at some point. It's funny. It is funny. I have to maintain composure. We're doing a live show here. And even though they chose not to specify the titles, specifically citing that they would leave that up to the information cycle of those developers, saying that they basically just didn't want to step on anybody's toes. Those developers, you know, publishers, whatever, they will name, they will reveal, they will announce those titles in due time. So we didn't actually officially find out what those are. However, comma space, there's already been a lot of corroborated reporting on those titles that we can expect to float over to the other brands.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because we don't often talk about leaks and rumors on our show and on our news coverage, but you know, Hi-Fi Rush has been data mined. Like we've known actually for about a month or so now that that game was planned to come to Switch before this even like happened at all. In addition to that, like the reports are that Pentiment, which is another sort of smaller scale game by Obsidian that came out a couple years ago, and Sea of Thieves and Grounded. And they did speak loosely. They were like, you know, two of the games are like smaller games. Two of the games are like games as a service games. Like they basically said it without saying it, but they're leaving the space for Nintendo, Sony, whoever is going to be communicating these announcements to do that for them. Yeah. And
that being said, the Sea of Thieves Twitter did, I mean, very explicitly, I mean, like the biggest wink, wink, nudge, nudge that you'll ever see. Sea of Thieves has all but officially confirmed that they're coming to Switch with an incredibly insinuatory tweet. I don't know if that's a real word, but I'm using it.
I mean, like this is what's happening. And there's going to be a partner direct next week. There's going to be a partner showcase. Again, it's not been officially confirmed, but
the burb has spoken.
But I mean,
the burb has spoken. I know.
Pioro is a 100% track record leaker who tweeted this morning, Act 2 Rebirth, next week. Somebody responds, Rebirth of Nintendo Direct, and he responds, Rebirth of Partner Showcase.
Yeah.
So that's what's happening. We're going to get a partner showcase at some point next week, according to Pioro, and I would hazard a guess that at least some of this news will be delivered there. Hi-Fi Rush and Pentiment, I bet, are there for sure.
Yeah. So Pentiment, I've been wanting to check out. It got reviewed extraordinarily well when it came out on Game Pass last year. Now there were also some pretty rampant rumors for a short time talking about the potential of Bethesda games, specifically Starfield and the new Indiana Jones game potentially also jumping ship. However, Phil Spencer went on to very explicitly say that there are zero plans right now to bring those to other consoles at this time. Just mentioning those four games and saying that basically we'll see what happens with these four. They didn't specifically say we have more titles planned for the future. They didn't really detail any other future plans in terms of other previously Xbox exclusive games. They're saying, hey, we have these four that we are doing, and basically we'll see how that goes, and never say never.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we got these four games that are coming to Switch. Presumably we're going to hear about these very soon. And this is great. It's, you know, it allows more people. And these like, and they even say it too, like Phil Spencer's like, look, these are games that are over a year old. These are games that have sort of stagnated in terms of like their sales potential on Xbox. It makes a lot of smart business sense. And it's been part of Xbox's pillars from, you know, for a long time now, this idea of like wanting their games to go to other places and play anywhere and all that junk. So they detail a lot of that in the podcast.
To be fair, though, Xbox does severely cannibalize its own sales numbers with the whole idea of Game Pass. So being able to like accurately gauge like how many people are willing to pay for these games is much harder these days, especially since they said that Game Pass has what, like 34 million subscribers at this point.
Yeah. So that's like the thing. They're not really playing the same like sales numbers game that everybody else is.
Exactly.
You know, they're making Game Pass appealing. And another little bit of Switch relevant data from that is they did say like, hey, Game Pass is going to stay on Xbox and PC. So Game Pass is not coming to Switch. It's not coming to PS5 or anything like that. So if you want the Game Pass experience, you do still have to come to them for that. So worth noting.
And that is apparently not going to be stopping anytime soon, because they did tease hardware plans for later on. There was other, you know, concerns that or other rumors popping up that they may be getting out of the hardware game, which is why a lot of people thought that Game Pass might be coming to Switch. But not only is it not planned, it's apparently not going to be a thing for quite some time, according to this new podcast report. But I mean, we certainly got enough games to play on Switch right now.
Yeah, well, we presumably we won't have long to wait. It sounds like we're getting a partner showcase next week. We'll be talking about it next week. We'll see what happens. There was also this kind of like, sort of talk online, specifically from like Jeff Grubb, saying like the Nintendo Direct was initially scheduled for this week, but it wound up having to be delayed because of this pod. I mean, who knows? Who cares, frankly? I think everybody's just kind of ready for it to happen, and I'm kind of ready for it to happen so people can just shut up about it.
When it comes to hearsay, speculation, rumors, like if it doesn't come from the burb, then it's just it's wisps of air.
Yep. Well, we will report back next week and see what happens there. But for now, let's talk about some Happy Meal toys.
Dude, when this got announced, I have never wanted to go to Japan more. These adorable little Kirby plushes, these Kirby toys that they showed off for McDonald's in Japan are just, oh my God, they're just beyond cute. I am really hoping that, I can't imagine we are, but I'm hoping beyond hope that we get some facsimile of this in America. These
I doubt it.
Are they actually plushies?
They look like they're little plushies, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But it's there's a bunch of Kirby proper. There's one of Waddle Dee, and then there's one of Yellow Kirby, which probably going to be like a rare one or something, but they've got they start on February 23rd and they'll be available at McDonald's in Japan. And again, just so cute. I will say, as objectively adorable as it is, the fact that it's Kirby right now, when we have zero knowledge of any Kirby products coming from Nintendo in the near future. Like, we just got Mario vs. Donkey Kong, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. We've got Princess Peach coming next month. And, like, we don't have any announced Kirby games. There's no talk of it coming to movies or to the theme park. So, it is an interesting choice that Nintendo decided to go with Kirby of all the other potential cross-promotion avenues that they could have looked at. I honestly think that the Princess Peach costumes just scream for a cross promotion like this.
I mean, I would love to see that. When it comes to Kirby, and when it comes to Kirby in Japan, and specifically, it doesn't matter. Kirby doesn't need a reason to be promoted in Japan. Kirby has had, since like 2016, this like just rolling Kirby cafe that just kind of like pops up all the time. I mean, Kirby is Nintendo's most marketable character in Japan by far. So I don't think it matters. I don't think they need a thing to promote, to be honest. I think this is just for them. It's like, hey, guess what? Kirby. Like, enjoy it. Like, in Japan, Kirby's massive. I wish it was as big here because, you know, I would love to be able to get these easily. Mm-hmm. I imagine these are just, like, cheap little, you know, plushies, but still, they're very, very cute, and I want all of them.
I do, too. I don't know if it's going to be as... I'm sure it probably won't be as much of a phenomenon as the Beanie Babies were when they came to McDonald's. But I can imagine these being quite a bit of a thing here in the next couple weeks when they launch. I mean, there's a mouthfill mode of Cone Kirby plush there. I mean, how do you not want that? How could you not say, I need to line my walls with all of these?
It's pretty darn cute, man. Well, you did mention Princess Peach Showtime, and that was an apt thing to bring up because we did get a brand new trailer for Princess Peach Showtime this week, showcasing four new transformations.
Yes.
We got a look here. Figure Skater Peach was the first one. Then this is my favorite one right here. Dashing Thief Peach, a.k.a. Persona 5 Peach.
Exactly. I was like, just remove any pretense. Just call it the Phantom Thief Peach. Just call it.
Yeah,
just call it what it is.
We, of course, got Mermaid Peach. which is very cute. I love these kind of like underwater little biomes here with these little like musical note fish. Very cute. And then finally we have this one right here, which is Mighty Peach, sort of like Baymax Peach or something.
Yeah, basically. I saw Mighty Peach and I was like, it kind of reminded me a little bit of the cyber armor that you could unlock in Mario Strikers for the Switch. But with these four, we now have 10 different transformations that Peach is going to be able to turn into in Princess Peach Showtime. As you can see, they're available next month, March 22nd on the Nintendo Switch. There has been some chatter online about these being the final transformations. I don't know if I believe that, because knowing Nintendo, what I would think would happen is there's probably going to be, like, considering that they revolve the entire game around these different transformations and costumes, I would think that maybe there's going to be like a final one used for the final boss or the final act or something, some uber transformation even better or more powerful than Mighty Peach. But regardless, I mean, this is a lot of variety that they're packing into this game. Not only do, you know, each of the different transformations offer, you know, different gameplay, like a lot of the different sections seem completely different just from a base mechanical perspective. There we see Mighty Peach in a straight up side-scrolling shmup section.
Yeah. And pretty cool. I love that. I love like the amount of variety we're seeing out of this game.
Yeah.
It like every time we get a new trailer like this, it just makes me more excited to see what the full scope of it's going to be. I hope that they're holding at least a couple of transformations for the final release. I have to imagine they are. I don't think they're going to show all their cards, but yeah, like I love everything that we're seeing out of this game, man. I continue to be more and more impressed. I love the vibes. I love the music. I love the visuals. Like in this section, the Dashing Peach, Thief Peach section, the way the buildings are kind of popping up in the background, and yeah, it looks great.
Can't wait. The Mermaid Peach section that we're seeing here looks like there may be some rhythm based gameplay to go along with that, and we saw her. Like, we saw her singing in the foreground while you're apparently controlling these, you know, little fish that she's singing to, these little underwater woodland creatures. So, I mean, very clearly going for, like, a Disney princess vibe right there. And, I mean, you mentioned the Baymax, the pretty obvious kind of Baymax corollary that you can make with the Mighty Peach costume. But, I mean, regardless, I think this is going to be a really, really interesting new IP for Nintendo. And, again, you just look at it, you got Sword Fighter Peach, you got Cowgirl Peach, you got, you know, what is it, Patisserie Peach?
Patissier, yeah.
Yeah, I don't speak Spanish, so, but yeah, I mean, it looks great. It looks absolutely fantastic. It's one of those things where, you know, you see something new, you get to a new level, you get a new transformation, and you're like, oh, cool, how are they going to use this now? It's the amount of creativity that, you know, I kind of used to feel from a lot of Nintendo platformers, one of which we're actually going to be talking about in tomorrow's episode of the show. But, you know, just seeing all the new gimmicks and ideas that they're putting into this game and just being excited about the different ways that they can use them. I'm getting that feeling from Princess Peach Showtime.
Yeah, it looks wonderful. I can't wait. I'm really kind of hoping something I predicted on the Nintendo Drive, and this is, you know, long before we knew anything about this being a partner showcase, so I don't know if this is going to happen or not, but I was really kind of thinking they were going to put a demo as part of the next, like the February Direct. I would love to see that. I think this game could really use a demo. So my hope is that the Partner Direct happens next week. They shadow drop a demo. It'll be right around a month, you know?
Yeah.
Like almost exactly a month. And I don't know. I think this could maybe slot into that same kind of Bayonetta Origins slot from last year.
I could see that. I could see that. But the probability of it being a Partner Direct was becoming larger and larger, because in addition to the Princess Peach big overview for transformation trailer, we got another pretty hefty new overview trailer for a first party Nintendo product, this time for Side Order from Splatoon 3, coming next week. This is a nice, big, chunky, like 4-minute gameplay overview trailer that gave us a lot, that showed us a lot of what we can expect from Splatoon's upcoming expansion.
Yeah, really cool. The biggest, I think, sort of takeaway from this is like the structure of it being a like roguelite kind of structure, kind of coming in. The main objective is to sort of scale like the tower, and it is going in, taking on challenges, earning upgrades, and, you know, coming back stronger until you can finally, you know, get to the top. And I mean, like, I love this kind of trend, actually, that we're seeing of like sort of big like AAA games recontextualizing themselves with a roguelike mode. We've seen it on the side of PlayStation with both God of War and The Last of Us. And so now that we're seeing this with Splatoon, I'm like, this is brilliant. Like, the idea of a Splatoon roguelike experience, I'm all about it.
I am too. We haven't seen much in terms of the way of multiplayer with Side Order, have we?
Not really, no. Which, I mean, I don't really expect it. Octo Expansion didn't really have much beyond, like, you can play as the Octolings. Yeah. I imagine that there's going to be some, like, gear transfer over from the multiplayer, but that's about the bulk of what I expect there. I think this is going to be primarily a single-player experience.
Yeah. I mean, we have kind of something like that in regards to, you know, like, the big run and... you know, that kind of, those kind of, the salmonids. There we go. I lost the word there for a second. Yeah, the different salmonids and that salmonid mode in Splatoon 3. But, like, just looking at this, it looks so super interesting. And it would have been something that I would have liked to have played with, you know, some of our friends. You and I certainly know a couple people who are big Splatoon 3 fans. I imagine Cheesy's going to be all over this from day one. But I mean, regardless, it still looks good. I still get like Octo Expansion vibes from all of it. Maybe it's just the kind of muted color palette. Maybe it's the elevator reminding me of the train, but Octo Expansion was a phenomenal addition to Splatoon 2. And again, this is kind of giving me those same vibes.
Yeah, it looks great. I'm really excited to play through this. I loved Octo Expansion, and I'm hoping that this kind of taps into that a little bit. And yeah, there's a Splatfest going on with Splatoon right now, this weekend. It's the weekend Splatfest, Friday versus Saturday versus Sunday. So big sort of week for Splatoon. This comes out next week on the 22nd. So I'm looking forward to it. Gonna be a fun playthrough.
But that's not the only trailer. There's a lot of trailers that came out this week. Big week for trailers. Huge week for trailers. In addition to Princess Peach Showtime, in addition to Splatoon 3, we got an announcement of a forthcoming Western release for East 10. A really good-looking new entry into the East series. Admittedly, the E-Series isn't something that I have a ton of experience with, but I mean, just looking at this really, really makes me want to jump in. Some of the set pieces that they showed off. The trailer itself isn't even a minute long, but this little sizzle reel of different gameplay mechanics that they throw in here, like the ship combat that we just saw, these super moves, the running away from that monster as he's shooting fireballs at you. I don't know. This was a really, really good 1-minute trailer for East 10, known as, what was it, Nordics?
Yeah, East 10 Nordics. So I got into the East series last year. I played East Origin and loved it. And I've got East 8 and 9 on my Switch. And this came out last year in Japan, last like September or something like that. And we've just been kind of waiting. There's some weirdness. The thing that people kind of need to understand about Falcom is that they're an actually quite small operation. Like, despite the fact that Ease is a, you know, franchise that's been around for like 40 years now, you know, they're a fairly small, you know, like, these are not like AAA level games with AAA, you know, scale teams and budgets, but they still produce quality that is on that level. These games are very sort of like arcadey, very like fast and movement based, and very like action RPGs, like very much action RPGs that, you know, always have a strong focus on like character and story and usually fantastic music. So it checks a lot of the boxes for me. And these are also not usually very long because, again, I mean, Falcom's a glorified indie studio. These games are typically like 20, 30 hours long. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. It comes out this fall, with a full localization, and I think it's going to be great. Can't wait.
I hope so. Yeah. I've always been a big fan of Nippon Software, who is, publishing this game. And, I mean, again, I don't have a lot of experience with the E series, but just seeing that actually really, really makes me want to jump in. Hopefully Nippon Ichi is helping them out, trying to move a couple of resources or trying to help them get this out the door. Nippon Ichi obviously has a lot of experience with Western localization. So, you know, I imagine considering the quality that we've seen from the series over the years, at least that I've heard about, I imagine this is going to be another pretty good entry in the series. What were the reviews like when it came out last year in Japan?
Really strong, really strong. I think it was Open Critic like 80, 87 or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, it came out in 2023. I mean, so it was probably a good game.
Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to this. I will say, I think that the E series is a tough one to market because it kind of faces the Final Fantasy problem where people are like, oh my God, there's 16 of these. Like,
where do I jump in?
Yeah. I'm so intimidated. Where do I jump in? And the interesting thing about E's is, this main character Adol, actually has been the same main character throughout the entire franchise, like since the beginning. However, it is still the Final Fantasy thing where the stories and the characters and the settings and stuff are interchangeable. So you can jump in wherever you want, despite
It's like a Link situation.
Yeah. Yeah. So
character, just like different timelines or something.
Yeah. Like, despite the fact that like this is E's 10, you could very easily jump into E's Origin or E's 8 or E's 9 and or even this and have a totally, you know, fine experience. You're not really going to be lost or anything like that. So
those are all available on the Switch, right? E's 8, mm-hmm. E's 9, E's Origins. Yeah, I thought those were all on the Switch. Yeah.
Yep. E's Origin in particular, I would really highly recommend people check out that game. I think the standard price is $20 and it's excellent. Like, that was what made me really fall in love with the series. It's not the sort of like 3D action RPG that these are. It's much more of a top down sort, not even really top down. It's like a 2.5D kind of like action, like more of an old school arcadey action game.
Yeah.
Hack and slash dungeon crawler sort of thing. But they're so good. They're so fun and unique. And there really is nothing quite like the E's games. So I recommend it. I definitely recommend it. I'm looking forward to this one. The localization announcement was exciting to me. Although, like, this was one where when this actually was the announcement this week that made me say, maybe there's no Direct, because like
this would have been feels, in a partner. Yeah.
This feels like it would have been right at home at a partner showcase. And maybe we will still see it. Maybe they were just like, well, if it got delayed, we're still going to let the cat out of the bag. But I don't know. That was an interesting one for me.
And if you're listening to the podcast version of this, you may have been mispronouncing the E series as Wise this entire time. So that's the game series that we're talking about, because I may have mispronounced that series for many, many years in my youth.
Y-S.
Y-S. Yes, the E series. I called it the Wise series for so long.
Yeah. Not the Wise series, the E series. Not the Wise series. With that being said, we actually have got a fairly big week for notable releases this week.
Absolutely. Some stacked notable releases, including a brand new first party Nintendo game that happens to be up on the television behind me. The release of the remake of Mario versus Donkey Kong just came out today, as a matter of fact, as we're recording this. So the demo came out a few weeks ago. We played it. Seth, as a matter of fact, put a video up on this very YouTube channel for it. So go ahead and check that out or download the demo and play it for yourself. Absolutely. But if you've never played any of the Mario versus Donkey Kong games, they are not standard platform games like you would expect from the Mario series. It's not like a Mario Wonder or a Mario Odyssey. They are puzzle platform games. That being said, this is a pretty lauded franchise in Nintendo history, and the demo was, I mean, if only for the music, the demo was amazing.
Yeah, I was so impressed by the demo, and the demo really sold me and elevated my hype for this. So, yeah, got my copy in the mail today. I can't wait to dive in. Looking forward to really, you know, digging into this and seeing what the deal is.
Yep.
So
really looking forward to it. Another first party Nintendo game, and that means that you will be hearing more about us in regards to the quality of that game on the main All In and Nintendo podcast at some point in the foreseeable future. But that is certainly what I'm probably going to be spending a lot of my weekend doing. But that's not the only big release from this past week. There's a couple other games that I really, really want to play. What do you want to hit next?
Let's talk about Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider.
1-3 remastered came out this week. It looks like it's a pretty decent you know, sort of remaster job here. From what I understand, it's full 1080-60, and you can actually swap between the old and new visuals, so it sounds like it checks all the boxes. Now, you know, be aware when you're playing these games, these are old games, and like the control scheme is gonna be dated. Right.
Yeah. But, well, not just the control scheme. One thing that the studio did implement in this title is kind of a racial sensitivity warning.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
One thing they did say is the game does contain depictions that may not have aged very well, but rather than change it, they decided to leave it as it is, to not pretend like it didn't happen, which I think was the right call.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? You know, exactly. that's probably the best way to go about it. But yeah, if you're a fan of like retro re-releases, and it's a great, easy way to have these available on your Nintendo Switch, yeah, check it out.
I love it when remasters do that too, where they give you the ability to switch between the old and new graphics. Like the Halo remake, the Halo 1 remake did that. The Wonder Boy 3, the Dragon's Trap remake did that. And I really, really like it. Just being able to see how much it's come. Now, don't get me wrong, these games weren't transferred from like their old polygonal PS1 days into something resembling like Unreal 5 or anything like that. However, they are noticeably, noticeably better in terms of the aesthetic quality. And again, solid frame rate and solid performance, which is really, I think most people, that's a large part of just what you want from games like this.
Yep. Agreed. Well, the next one we can shout out here is Arzette, the Jewel of Faramore, which also released this week. There is a video on the YouTube channel of me playing it as well. Big thanks to our friends at Limited Run Games who provided us a code. This one, if you haven't been keeping up with it, is the sort of like, what if the Zelda Philips CDI games were good, basically, is what this is. And there is just so much love and care and hard work in every frame of this game.
Yeah. I mean, it genuinely looks like a lost CDI game. The developing studio even calls themselves CDI, spelled S-E-E-D-Y-E-Y-E. They have gone above and beyond to pretty perfectly recreate the feel, the look, the vibe of those old Philips CDI Zelda games from years past. And it really is just, it's incredible to watch in motion.
Yeah, I absolutely adore this game. I haven't finished it yet, but I'm pretty deep into it at this point. And man, I just continue to be impressed. And it has been truly one of my favorite gaming experiences of 2024 so far. The game just understood the assignment. I mean, it is exactly what it needed to be. So, you guys definitely need to have this. If anything that we've just said about it appeals to you, you need to play it.
Yeah. If you're a gamer of a certain age and you kind of remember what those old games look like, you will have an absolute blast from the past when you boot this game up. It, like Seth said, it is the walking embodiment of understood the assignment.
Yeah, they absolutely crushed it. The next thing I guess I'll shout out here, this is a little bit of a sort of like fan favorite, Played Up, released on Switch this week. This is a sort of like roguelike, Overcooked-ish but also kind of like restaurant management sort of thing. This is very, very popular online, and you can do like online co-op with this as well. People love this game. I've never played it. These games, I think I've just kind of decided these games are not really for me. But there's, again, I know that a lot of people are really into it, so it was worth shouting out.
I don't know, maybe you and Anastasia or something could do. You've played Overcooked with Anastasia before, right?
Many times.
And that strengthened your marriage, correct?
No. No, I would not say that. No. It only serves to create arguments in this house. So, but you know, I've played a couple things that I thought were like, it's fun. Like I can see the appeal, but I don't know. I don't know if games like that are for me.
Yeah.
But
didn't that, like prehistoric, that, pizza making prehistoric kitchen game also come out recently?
It was, that came out, like 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah. The, I will say though, this one here that I'll pull up real quick, this game Birth, came out this week on the Nintendo Switch, which was kind of out of nowhere. This game was announced, I think, at a Wholesome Direct, and it's this weird kind of like taxidermy like puzzle game with a lot of like sort of macabre imagery, a lot of like skeletons and bones and stuff, and all the characters even are sort of like these skeletal like animal characters, and I don't know, it's a really striking visual style.
Yeah, I really dug it when I saw it at the Direct, but it's like kind of a weird goth version of A Little to the Left, I guess, kind of. But yeah, with the bird skulls and the weird, interesting, like it initially gives this impression of being kind of a cozy game. But then, of course, yeah, like you said, you've got these weird bird skulls and this weird kind of off-putting imagery that starts to appear. And I don't know, it's just weird and bizarre, but I dig it.
Yeah, I'm kind of into it. That came out on the Nintendo Switch this week. I'll also shout out really quick another game that came out, another game that we have a video for on the YouTube channel. And this one, I mean, it pains me to say it, but
it's the greatest game of 2024. Single greatest game. Give it the golden ace right now. It's the greatest game of 2024. Right, Seth? That's what you're going to say?
Lake released on the Nintendo Switch this week. This is actually my video here. This is the game running on the Nintendo Switch in motion. And it is a horrendous Nintendo Switch port, as it pains me to say it. Because the game itself is actually really cool. You're playing as this mail delivery woman who kind of moved back to her like cozy Oregon town. But the port is just awful. I mean, you can see like the pop-ins.
Yeah, I see them.
Like how low the resolution is. It's genuinely difficult to see the world around you. It is bad. I wish I could say otherwise. I hope the game receives a patch, because I think the game is actually pretty cool. But it is in rough shape on the Nintendo Switch, everybody.
Yeah, I hate to say it. Like, this is a game that came out a while ago on other platforms. So, I mean, hopefully they can figure out what the issue is on the Nintendo Switch, because, you know, I'd like to see this game do well, but I mean, yeah, we got to call it like we see it. And just watching the video, yeah, I'm seeing exactly what you're talking about with, I mean, the assets, the pop-ins and stuff just going in and out of existence constantly.
Like, there's a moment when I was kind of like winding down the video where I was just kind of floored at how like low res the entire thing is. Like, it's hard to look at. And again, like, I'm really not trying to beat the game up, but like, I don't know what went wrong here. And I say this in the video too. I talk about it on the podcast tomorrow as well. But like, you know, I'm hoping that the devs patch this one, and I would be overjoyed to revisit it, to make another video, and to tell y'all that all is well and that you should play this game. But right now, I just can't recommend it. I should also say, just for full transparency, that we did get this game for free from the publisher, so we want to thank the publisher for that as well. Yes. But we got to keep it honest. We got to keep it 100.
Yeah.
So.
So I hope they're able to do that. But until then, yeah, kind of hard to recommend. But I mean, if you're not into that, if you'd rather spend your weekend clicking on a mayo jar, Weirdly, we also have a recommendation in that regard as well.
I don't know that I would recommend.
recommend may be a strong word.
Might be a strong word. However, My Name is Mayo 3. It did come out on the Nintendo Switch.
How is there three of these?
These are clicker games, and the first one kind of took off on PlayStation, particularly because it has like this weird kind of personality to it, this weird sense of humor. It's a meme. It's also a very easy platinum trophy.
That's true. That's true.
That's really how it kind of like, you know, took off. And now there's a third one, and it's out on Switch. Again, you don't have a platinum trophy on Nintendo Switch, so I don't know why you would play it there versus anywhere else. But, you know, it's still a funny little oddity of a game, and worth shouting out.
I think oddity really is the best word for it. But yeah, if you are into gaming experiences like that, no judgment. It's out for you. Go ahead and pick it up and check out those weird, like, half horse, half man people, the weird fruit, like Aqua Teen Hunger Force looking characters. I mean, have at it. More power to you.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much it, though. I think that's the notable releases. A pretty good week.
Yeah.
For notable releases. Yeah.
The weeks have been kind of hit and miss. We've had some really good weeks, like the week we got Prince of Persia, and like this week again with Tomb Raider and Arzette and Mario vs. Donkey Kong. There's been some really like good weeks and really off weeks already this year, but hopefully it'll start to pick up a little bit next week following, you know, the burb. But we'd love to know what you guys are up to this Valentine's Day weekend. Let us know if you're playing Arzette, if you're playing Tomb Raider, if you're playing Mario versus Donkey Kong, or anything else. Let us know what you're up to. Reach out to us on Facebook and Twitter at All In Podcast. Make sure to check out our Discord. We would love to have you over there as a member of our amazing community. Also, make sure, especially if you're here watching us live right now, if you haven't already, go ahead and mash that like button, click the subscribe button, click that little bell for the notifications. We're always posting up new videos on this channel. Like Seth said, he's got first looks at Lake and Arzette, and we've got a ton of other content constantly going up all the time. And in addition to that, in addition to all that content, we also find time to create exclusive content for those awesome patrons we shouted out exactly 38 minutes and 67 seconds ago.
That's true. Patreon.com/allinpodcast is the place to be for that. Join the ranks of the friends and supporters who toss a few bones our way over there. Another great way to support the show again is merch, bit.ly/allinmerch, or by leaving a free, quick, easy, and very much appreciated review on your podcatcher of choice. We appreciate that very much. And if you're here on YouTube, like, subscribe, leave us comments. That helps everything as well. So thanks for doing that.
Absolutely. Thank you all so much. If you came and hung out with us tonight here on this auspicious Friday evening, we would love to thank you for that. If you are a follower of All In on whatever platform of content, thank you all so much for that. If you have left reviews, if you have picked up a piece of our merch, if you have become a patron, if you have even just shared any piece of our content across the internet, to all of you, every single last one of you, you're all my Valentines. And we would like to say, Namaste.
Namaste, everybody. That has been the week in Nintendo news. We appreciate y'all for coming through, for hanging out. Lockleth and Bowser, thanks for coming by and watching us live. To everybody else, we of course have got a brand new episode of All In, a Nintendo podcast, going live tomorrow. On the show tomorrow, we're doing a Galentine's Day themed top five, the top five female friendships in Nintendo history. We're doing a very fun and divisive indie showcase on Jump King, which is a fun discussion. And we invited our good friend Matt Shy Guy City Murray back onto the show to chat about Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze for its 10-year anniversary. So great show hitting your feeds tomorrow. So please be excited.
Please be excited. And thank you all so much for hanging out with us. And we will see you tomorrow and All In. We will see you back here next week for another news roundup. Until then, deuces!
See ya. Bye.